Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Shifting Gears Podcast. I'm your host, Justin LaRoque. I am the marketing manager here at Spectrum Automotive Holdings, and this podcast is powered by Spectrum Automotive Holdings. So I am really excited that we're kicking off another episode. Thank you to all who have been checking us out so far. Whether you listen to us on YouTube or found us on LinkedIn or several other social media platforms, we are trying to be everywhere. So we appreciate everybody's support. And, if you're new to this podcast or you're not familiar with kind of some of the topics and things that we discuss here, some of the major things that we are going to be talking about are everything from, careers in automotive, F&I best practices, service drive sales best practices, and the idea of selling in a digital world, all these different types of topics. We will have guests on board. And I always like to clarify in the beginning, I am in no way a automotive expert, but that is why I like to bring on the experts to kind of pick their brains and learn a little bit more about them and what they have to offer in terms of the information that they give here on this podcast. So with that being said, today's topic is going to be focused around careers in automotive. And I thought the appropriate person, one of the appropriate people to be brought on this podcast is none other than a good friend of ours, Ted Ings. Ted Ings is the executive director for the Center of Performance Improvement Automotive Company. He is a now five-time NADA speaker. Very exciting stuff. I know that he's done many, many trainings for many different companies and dealerships, as well as has a little bit of a history of his own. So we will get into that here today. So let's welcome Ted Ings. Ted, how are you?
Hey, Justin. Great. Great honor to be with you here today and with Spectrum Automotive. We hold you folks in really high regard. So again, a great, great honor and privilege to be with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I do appreciate your time.
I got to tell you, I got to go back to your intro. You talked about technology and digital and retailing and automotive. Boy, you couldn't imagine that 10 years ago, right? That we would be faced with all the things that are going on that are rapidly happening right now in automotive. We've had, Justin, about 10 years of innovation occur in the last 12 months. So it's really an exciting time to be in retail.
Absolutely. And the wild thing is, a lot of people are still just catching on. I feel like, a lot of this type of technology, there are some that are ahead of others, but, slowly everybody's making that transition. And, that's what this podcast is all about. So I'm excited to, as we continue this journey, discussing topics such as that. Today, I want to pick your brain a little bit more on your career and kind of where you've been and, where you are today. So I mean, my first question to you is, how long have you been in this industry?
A long time, Justin. I got in the car business in September of 1981. What were you doing in 1981? So a friend of mine had a job at a Buick dealership, and he was making, I couldn't believe this, he was making big money, $500 a week selling Buicks. And I said, I gotta see if that works for me. And I started off at a Ford dealership in Clifton, New Jersey, today Fetty Ford. And I started off there as 19 years old. I was the youngest person on the floor. There were really no women, all men. I was called the kid, and they were all older men who, drank coffee and smoked cigarettes all day long. And I couldn't believe I was getting involved in this.
Oh, that is incredible. And what made you decide automotive? Do you have a passion for cars, or what kind of drove you in this direction to begin with?
At that time, who really knows what they want when they're 19 years old, right? You really don't know. You're looking for your way. But I got to tell you, I'm really grateful that I got into the car business, Justin, because it's got a little bit of everything. It's got, of course, sales and, the people and marketing, but it's also got finance. I knew nothing about any of these things. Mm-hmm. Finance, insurance, service, customer service, parts, logistics. All these things are wrapped up in the car business, and you get a wealth of knowledge, and it's really probably the only place in the world that somebody can come without any formal training or education. And really, if you've got a good attitude and you're willing to make a start for yourself, you can really make a name in this business. So that's really how I got into it. And I was told that if I had lasted 5 years, which I couldn't imagine 5 years at that time, that I'd be a lifer. And here I am.
That's incredible. That is absolutely incredible. And that's something I really wanted to capture as we discuss this here today, is the idea that, if for those that may be listening, no matter where you are in your career, within the automotive industry, there are so many different things to learn. There are so many different departments to take on, and you really could grow in any direction, or, you know, slowly go through all of them to some degree. And I always want to put that out there, especially the younger people who are, you know, thriving and looking to grow more, you know, within their career within automotive. So it's incredible to hear that you can kind of, you know, you took on a lot of these different departments and so on and so forth as you've gone through the ranks, it sounds.
And still today, you know, a young person getting into automotive, or any age getting into automotive, you know, the sky's the limit. You can pretty much write your own ticket if you've got a good attitude, as I mentioned earlier. I recently spoke, you mentioned the NADA. I spoke at the NADA conference, and I started off with a question. We had asked hundreds of dealers this question, of all the things in our industry that are important, what would you feel is most important to be successful? And there were three answers I put up on the screen. One was product, one was technology, and one was people. And we surveyed them, and here's how the answers came in. 7% said product, 14% said the technology, and the resounding answer that most people had, 79% said it's the people, and the people part of the business. So if you're good with people, you can succeed.
Wow, absolutely. And those numbers are, those are some big numbers for sure. So I wanted to ask you too a little bit, you know, as listeners, whether they're familiar with you or not, and I must say, I know you are everywhere on social media. I love the amount of content that you're putting out there, especially on platforms like LinkedIn, you know, the events that you're holding and so on and so forth. Before we get into the heavy details, tell us a little bit about what you're currently doing right now. I know you're a speaker, you're a trainer, you do it all in a way. So, you know, what are you doing right now exactly?
I'm heading up 4 different OEM initiatives for training throughout North America, mostly in the United States, for 4 big OEMs. And we're launching different training. Some of it's virtual, some of it's in person, some of it is a hybrid, Justin. And I'm doing that on a pretty big scale. And then I started this conference called the Fixed Ops Roundtable about 2 years ago, which is fixed ops. It's service and parts and body shop. But it's an area in the business that does not get a lot of love, Justin, and it needs a lot of attention. And what's happened is that we're actually now, we've had our 10th conference, and I just had Jay Leno on the show 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
And we're actually rivaling the NADA now in terms of attendance and interest, simply because, you know, we've put a lot of best practices out there, and people are hungry. They want to learn more about our industry.
Sure.
And you learn so much from your peers within the dealership, but you got to look outside too. And you mentioned social media platforms. It's really great to build a profile and have yourself out there on these platforms like LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, because you will learn so much from others in the industry that, you know, there's really no substitute for it right now.
100%. And networking seems to be the key in terms of, you know, I mean, it's always in any industry, really, who you know, and you know, getting to know others and reaching out and putting yourself out there. So you're certainly doing a great job of doing that. And congratulations on all the big events and things that you've been doing recently. Like I said, I've been seeing a lot of it. So it's you seem to be doing something right. So it's definitely a good thing to see. So rewinding a little bit back to, again, when you kind of first started and you were just getting into the dealership or working for a dealership, who were some of your mentors at that time, or kind of, were you reading books at that time? Were you, you know, where was your headspace at in terms of keeping your motivation and wanting to grow and build your career?
I don't think I knew what a mentor was back then, as a lot of people don't early in their career.
Sure.
And I found out later, I had some good managers that I worked under who I learned the car business from. Yet when you look outside the car business, as I later did, I learned from people like Zig Ziglar, Brian Tracy, who I ended up working with both of those people.
Wow.
Tony Robbins, looking at Napoleon Hill and reading his works, Think and Grow Rich. And, you know, you learn a lot from those people. There's a gentleman who sells Chevrolets up in Michigan. His name is Ali Rita. And he works at a dealership now there for about 11 years. And he's 20 years in the car business. And he's the number one automotive salesperson in the world. Ali Rita, as an example, in December, Justin, delivered 206 cars himself. He broke the world's record in 2017, held by Joe Girard, which was the Guinness Book of World's Record. And Ali has been for the last three and a half years now. He's the number one automotive salesperson in the world. And I asked him a lot of those same questions. And it was not really till he came across his mentor who forced him to, you know, Ali had been doing much better than me. Okay. I mean, I think my best month in retail, I sold 35 cars when I was on the floor. Yeah. Ali was somewhere between 30 and 40 every month. And wow. He wanted to get to a bigger number. And his mentor told him to write the number down. It was 60. And he thought it was unimaginable to do 60 cars. But when he wrote it down and committed to it, Justin, within a few months, he got to 60. And his mentor said, okay, what's the next one? What's the next number? It was 70. And after a few months, he got to 70. Then he got to 80. Then he got to 90. And it wasn't long until he was doing 100 cars a month. One person selling in a Chevrolet Cadillac dealership in Michigan. And today he has just blown that away. In fact, he told me the story this past year, last year in 2020, he hired an apprentice to work under him who had no experience in the car business, but was good with people, was in the pool business. And he actually works for Ali. He works for him. And that gentleman alone delivered 400 cars last year in 2020. Whoa. So when you add the numbers up, Ali is doing almost 2,000 units a year retail as one person. He's a dealership within a dealership. So, you know, that would be a mentor today for somebody new coming up in the business that I would point out to.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. Those numbers are insane. And I mean, it goes
tells you what you can do, right? I mean, one person, but again, you got to have the right environment. You got to have a supporting dealership to be able to do all that.
Sure. Sure.
And, you know, the sky is the limit in this industry.
Absolutely. And it sounds like, you know, that just goes to show in terms of how important it is to set goals and especially bigger goals, you know, have that visual in front of you. I know you've talked about that before. It's crucial. So that's incredible to hear that's kind of the type of numbers that he's putting up, especially throughout his career. And as we talk about mentors. And, you know, you mentioned a lot of those legends too, Zig Ziglar, Tony Robbins, and incredible that you were able to work with or meet with a lot of them throughout your career as well.
I went to Dallas some years ago, probably 2005, 2006, and I met with Zig Ziglar. He had an office in the Bank of America building. Hmm. And I attended his Monday morning sales meeting for his staff. And I was blown away by it. It was a full morning meeting, and he started off with the Pledge of Allegiance, and he led the meeting. And I met with him after that in the conference room, and I met with him and his son, and I got to spend time knowing Zig. And, you know, Brian Tracy is another one. Brian, I brought out to train my trainers, about 15 years back as well. And I forged a great relationship with him. And I recently had him speak at my event at the Fixed Ops Roundtable. Every time Brian comes up with a new book, he's an author. He's written hundreds of books, Justin. Mm-hmm. He always sends me a hardcover book and he inscribes it to me. And he writes me a little note inside it. So I probably get a new book from Brian Tracy like once every 2 months. And I've got this whole collection of autographed books now from Brian Tracy.
That is incredible. Brian Tracy is someone I was reading for a long time. And I remember he put a book out called No Excuses. And that was something that really kind of shifted my mindset, you know, on my careers and what I'm trying to work towards. So he's just been incredible. And I've followed him in terms of a lot. I mean, he puts stuff out on YouTube now and social media and LinkedIn and things like that as well. It's great to see that he's active. It's incredible to hear that you had him as a guest. I'm going to have to go back and catch that at some point.
Yeah. In fact, we had him right about the time when a few months after the pandemic had started. Mm. And I said, look, there's a lot of automotive business leaders. And by the way, Justin, he started off in automotive retail in Canada. He helped the Suzuki manufacturer break into that market, which I had no idea he did that. But right. We asked him, we said, look, what advice can you give the dealers and the managers and the salespeople and the service advisors who are on the event today? And he said, this too shall pass. He says, you know what? Right now, we got to use our talents and our skills to help others, and this will all come back. So, And I would say the same thing. You know, I'd just repeat what he said. This too shall pass. And we're actually seeing a lot of opportunity coming out of what's happened in the last 12 months.
Good. Oh, wow. That's something I did want to touch on. We'll get to that soon in terms of the pandemic and things like that. But I want to talk a little bit about where did you go from when you first started. You were, you know, in your teenage years and starting out with working in a dealership. You know, where did you move up from there? And were you operating dealerships yourself at some point?
I was a salesman for salesperson for 3 years. Okay. And I got good with leasing. My manager taught me leasing. And at some point when he left the dealership, I was really the only person who knew how to work a lease manually, Justin. We didn't have a computer to do it back then. So you had to do it on an adding machine. I could do it. Right. And so I got really good with leasing, and I made a big name by being able to offer that as an option to customers and then get them approved. And I've developed a great relationship with Ford Credit at the time, which was our captive lender. And then after a few more years of doing that, I had become a closer, which meant I would go in and I had a team of people, maybe 5, 6, 7 people, and they'd bring me in to close the deal. Mm-hmm. So I did a lot of that for years. And then I became the lease manager at my dealership, but it was called the plan back then. If anyone's been with Ford or Lincoln or Cadillac, they'll remember the plan was a 24-month lease option that you offered as an alternative to cash or finance. And my job was to go in and convert on a Saturday. Let's say our dealership sold 30 cars. I'd have to talk to every one of those 30 customers. Would get TO'd to me, and I would offer them the option of going with a short-term lease, putting money down. And my dealership, we did 100 24-month leases a month. We were the number one Ford division dealer in the nation. So I got a big start by doing that. And then eventually I got recruited by Ford Credit to go run another dealership in my area where they had held the mortgage and they need somebody to come in and run it. I came in as a general sales manager, then eventually the general manager.
Okay. And so how long were you general manager for?
I was there for 3 years, and I was there at a time when we were in a recession right around 1990. And I took the dealership from when I got there, 80 cars a month. And that was in February. By August, we were delivering 350 cars a month. But I had a couple franchises. I had Ford, I had Mazda, we had used. And I built a really strong team there. And we were very, very strong with leasing and with finance and used cars as well. And then I decided I was either going to start a dealership of my own or I was going to start a training company and train dealerships. And I called the gentleman who had helped teach me leasing, who had taught the course for Ford, had been retired in San Diego. And I talked him out of retirement to start a training company with me. And I left a beautiful job at a dealership, 2 demos and, you know, all the perks to start a training company. And that was really a big brazen thing to do back then.
Absolutely. And even today, for someone to make a leap like that is incredible. So you were able to, from being a GM several years and all this background that you've had building up to this, you now take this leap, right? And this is in the 90s, is that right?
A lot of people want to take that leap. Even today, I talk to people all the time. Absolutely. Who say, you know, I'm considering doing this. And it's not exactly like if they're in a dealership, it's considering maybe going into training, or they're considering this big move, but they're not sure how to make that move. And there's really no handbook written on how to exactly do that.
Yeah.
So I took the leap like 1991, 92. And I'll tell you what, I had an audience with, at the time, a company called Pontiac in Pontiac, Michigan. I had the number one, number two people at Pontiac who were considering giving me and my new partner opportunity to train all the Pontiac dealers around the nation. And we went up there and met with Pontiac at their office. And my partner was much older. I was maybe 30, he was 60. And he was a great trainer, Justin, but he put his foot in his mouth in this big meeting, and they ended up kicking us out of the meeting. And
we had
a Pontiac division, and we all went back to the hotel, and I said, I'm not going to take this as a no. And I got back on the phone, and I got the powers to be at Pontiac to meet us for lunch at the Silver Dome at the time.
Oh,
and put the deal back together. And we all went back to the Silver Dome, and my partner put his foot in his mouth again. And that was the end of that. So I decided from here on in, I'm not going to trust anybody else with selling this product. I'm going to be the person who sells it. And and then I would learn, you know, the rest of the industry. So I it took a while. I starved for a while in this new thing. And it took about a year and a half, and then it really took off.
Wow. See, and I like that you clarify that, you know, there were certainly some challenging times, especially when you first took this leap. You know, I think there are a lot of people nowadays that kind of have this expectation that they just jump off on their own and that they're just going to be super successful right off the bat and that's it. When in fact, it really is more, you know, important to be able to stay enthusiastic and move past all these challenges when you are going to face failure after failure or setback after setback. And it may not just be an overnight thing. It certainly won't be an overnight thing.
Get used to the failure no matter what you do in life. You know, whether you're selling cars, you don't sell every customer. You're going to sell one out of every two, one out of every three, whatever, no matter what your closing ratio is. Sure. It's the same in life, Justin. You're going to have failures. And you know what? It's, they don't judge you on the failures. They judge you on your successes. So it is a numbers game, and you've just got to adjust your sales, and you got to make the best with what you have and figure out how to be flexible and make it work.
Absolutely. And, you know, I wanted to talk, you know, we are, one of my questions I wanted to ask you was kind of, what are some of the biggest challenges that you've gotten over or that you faced throughout this time to where you are today? And I think one of the most perfect ones to kind of talk about is the pandemic. You know, we've been facing it now for over a year, and, you know, we're hoping to see more of a light at the end of the tunnel, and things are in progress. But, you know, kind of what did you have to do to kind of shift gears? Obviously, you were doing a lot of in-person trainings, and that got, you know, stopped right off the bat. But it seems like you've kind of figured out new ways to go about it. So, you know, how have you faced some of those challenges?
Well, I was really fortunate that I was preparing. I didn't know what I was preparing for, but I was doing these events around the country called the Fixed Ops Roundtable, mm-hmm. and bringing in big name dealers with whom I had met when they were not big name dealers. And I had a relationship with them over many years and had them talk about things that they do at their dealership. And when the pandemic hit, I guess, March of 2020, mm-hmm. that's really when we had to put the brakes on and say, okay, well, we can't do a physical event anymore because everything now doesn't work. Right. Because shaking hands doesn't work anymore.
Right.
Being in a room with a lot of people, can't do it. So, and we tried to adjust it. We were supposed to be in Dallas with maybe 200 people in a meeting. And then the CDC came out with a rule. They said, no more than 50 people in a meeting. We said, okay, well, we're going to be in this big event hall. They have multiple rooms, so we can have 50 or under 50 in each one. Then the next day they came out with a rule, no more than 10 people. All right. So we said, we just can't do a physical event anymore. And dealers were facing this too. They were getting closed.
Sure.
Because if you were not considered an essential service, mm-hmm. you could not operate. And there were dealers like Longo Toyota in California who closed down for, number one in the world, they closed mm-hmm. down for 2 months. Brian Benstock at Paragon Honda in Queens, New York was closed for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Ships all over were facing this new reality. So I took my conference online. A lot of people said, don't do it. Just wait till this flies over and then we'll come back. I said, well, let's take a shot. And I didn't realize that we could expand our audience from a few hundred people to a few thousand very easily. Mm. And it was really in doing that, you know, we would charge for our events in the past. Now we made them complimentary. We made them free. And wow. then it's all handled by the sponsors. And I was fortunate we had some great sponsors who stuck with us through those days. And our events blew up. So I became the practitioner of putting best practices together where you could come see or hear Brian Benstock. You could hear Brian Tracy. You could hear these Liza Borges at Carter Myers Automotive. I got on the phone. I got, and this was interesting. This was an opportunity, Justin, because typically talk about failure. I would get on the phone. I would call a very famous dealer and say, would you speak at my event? And it was common. They would say, well, when is it? Well, it's coming up in 4 weeks on a Friday. Here's the date. No, I can't make it. I'm going to be out of town. Well, when the pandemic hit, guess what? Everybody was home.
Yeah.
There was no more excuses.
Sure.
So when I called them up to speak, they said, okay, I'll do it because I'm going to be home anyway.
Right.
So we took advantage of that. And then we got better. We learned, we started pre-recording it and the events got bigger and bigger. So I've really blown that up in the meantime. And it's actually been a place where people can look for the latest technology and the latest people, processes, and you know, it's all in one place. And it's been a 1 day event, and now we just did recently a 3 day event. So
that's incredible. It's like you've taken, you know, what is looked at as these challenges, and not only have you overcome them, but you've actually turned them into kind of working for you and working for, you know, what you're trying to put together here. It's incredible to hear. And I like to hear these types of stories, especially as we're talking about careers and how some people right now might be looking for new opportunities or just ways to grow. And obviously there were a lot of people who have been, you know, laid off, and, you know, there were certain challenges in that way. So I want to try to always provide that kind of encouragement and inspiration to kind of, you know, keep figuring it out. And as you did, you made adjustments. You had to go back and learn from what's going on right now, research and figure out new ways to kind of overcome this. So
Justin, I bet everybody on this call today has a cell phone. has a smartphone in their hand. And that is probably the most powerful tool, you know, that we didn't have years ago. And you've got this device now to be able to communicate. If you're selling cars in a dealership, the tools you use in your personal life, the FaceTime, to be able to text, those are all tools that now favor social distancing. So you can communicate with somebody without having them in your showroom right now in front of you. You can actually communicate with more people than you ever have. And what before was maybe people were like, well, I really don't want to get on camera, put myself out there. Today, they're doing it because their other parts of their life and business are all requiring them to do that. So we've got to use these tools that we've got today because that's the now. It's not the future. It's right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, 100%. And as you said before, there's no excuses when it comes to, you know, mentioning that, you know, people are home, they have the opportunity to do this type of stuff. Social media is free to you know, create an account and be involved. So in that regard, there really isn't any excuse. So that's absolutely incredible to hear this kind of, I mean, the points that you're making are spot on. I wanted to ask, you know, with just you and what you do, and even before the pandemic, and just your drive with everything, you're obviously a very passionate person about what you do. What keeps you going every day? Like, what is it that really continues to push you towards your goals and everything that you're trying to accomplish?
I was given a book years ago that I mentioned. The author, Napoleon Hill, wrote a book called Think and Grow Rich. And you know,
great book.
And you know, in there, he talks about, and it's written many years ago, right? So you have to kind of go back and say, this is one of the best-selling books of all time, and just take it in today's context.
Sure.
But he talks about all the things that still matter today. Your thoughts are things, perseverance. You've got to ask for the sale. You've got to do the right things, and you'll attract the right things to you. So I would say that if you want to make any change in your life, you got to be willing to do the things you didn't do in the past. The 1% do the things that the other 99% did not do. If you're a salesperson and you're thinking about getting on social media, well, you need to put a video of yourself out there every day and do it every day for 31 days. And don't be afraid, you just got to do it. So what drives me, I think, is the fact that if I think it and I think I can do it, I'm going to be able to see it in my hand and actually make it happen. Because I've done that. I've even surprised myself in the last year, things that I didn't think I was going to get. We have a sponsor at my show. His name is Patrick Cronin up at CNC Solutions, Nofisk, and he's also in Michigan. And he sells the cleaning equipment to Jay Leno's garage. And he's done that for a couple of years now. And he had given us some tickets to raffle off at our last physical event in Las Vegas to meet Jay behind the scenes at the Mirage, which was about a year ago. And then I called up Patrick and I said, Patrick, what's the odds that we could get Jay Leno to appear on my automotive event? And he said, probably slim to none. He's not going to do it. I said, well, have you met him? He says, yeah, I've met him. I said, can you put in a good word for me? And because I know he's an automotive enthusiast. Anyway, it started with that little to no desire. And I was able to meet with his producer. I had no relationship with them, and start talking to her and letting them know that we're raising money for charity, Dealers Versus Cancer. I know Jay's involved with a lot of charities. And the next thing you know, it took about 6 weeks, but I'm on the phone with Jay Leno and I'm explaining it to Jay what we're going to do. And I'm talking to him, right? And I'm going the whole thing. And he goes, stop. He goes, I'll do it. You don't got to tell me anymore. I'll do it. Wow. So, and then, I mean, who would have thought we'd get Jay Leno to, you know, to be on our show. So
absolutely. That is a huge name and incredible kind of process to hear that you were able to, you know, make this work, and it took some time, but you were able to, you know, work things out, and now that just happened. So it's just so cool to hear and see that you put that together. We're wrapping things up here with some of the questions that I had for you. I just wanted to ask if, you know, as we're talking about careers in automotive, and no matter what age a person is or where they're at in their career, do you have any one piece of advice that you would offer to somebody, maybe that they're just starting out or just starting to look to grow their career in the automotive industry?
Believe in yourself and believe you can do it. And a lot of times that's tough to do. You know, if you've had a string of failures, which we're all going to get failures, and there's no such thing as failure, Justin, it's temporary. It's temporary defeat. Yeah. All right. You know, money comes and goes. That's temporary, you know, but you've got to realize that, you know, if you're going to be in it for the long haul, and you got to stick to what you do, and you got to, like I said, you got to adjust the sales. It may not go exactly the way you thought, So there's some things you got to adjust to the way that life happens around you. 90% of life is how you react to things. It's only the 10% of things that happen to you. It's sure. The adjustments you make along the way. So I would say believe in yourself. Put good information in your head. Read good books. Your mind is a gold mine. You've really got to treat it as such and put the right stuff and right ingredients in there, and you'll get the right stuff out. And if you think you can do it, you can probably do anything.
100%. I could not agree with you more. I think that is excellent advice. Ted, man, that's awesome. That is just awesome. And really that stuff can be applied to anything that you're doing, whether it is automotive industry or your personal life, building relationships, so on and so forth. So incredible piece of advice. I really appreciate that. With that being said, those are kind of the questions that I had set up for you, Ted. I really appreciate you being here on the show. I do want to give you a bit of a platform here. So, let the people know here, where can they find you on social media and what events do you have coming up?
Oh, great. Thanks, Justin. I'm primarily on LinkedIn. Look up Ted Ings. You can find me very easily on there. I'm on Facebook and I'm on Instagram as well. But I tell you this, if you're in business and you want to deal with other business people, you want to be on LinkedIn because the power of that platform is amazing. And I have another event coming up on Thursday, April 22nd, and it's going to be another Fixed Ops Roundtable. It's a one-day event, and it's going to be huge. And we're going to have some amazing big headline speakers on there as well that I'll announce shortly. So I'm working on putting all those together. So, and it's the same formula I'm using. So,
excellent. Very good. Very good. Well, definitely, I will make sure to include your social media information where people can find you in the descriptions. If you're listening to this on YouTube or if you found this on another platform, we'll make sure to have all that in there. Make sure everybody listening that you're following Ted Ings and seeing all the different events and trainings that he has going on. Again, Ted, my friend, thank you so much for being on, and hopefully we will have you on again here, very soon. I know there are several other topics that we'd love to hear more information from you about. So thank you again, and we appreciate your time.
A great honor, Justin. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, there you have it, everybody. That is Ted Ings, the executive director for the Center of Performance Improvement Automotive Company. Very excited to have Ted on. This was an incredible, incredible discussion, and I hope everyone that's been listening and supporting our channel, I hope you all enjoyed that. With that being said, just a reminder, you can certainly find Spectrum Automotive Holdings on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, as well as YouTube. We will be working to get this podcast out to as many different platforms as we can. So stay tuned for that. Make sure you're following us on those social media platforms so that you can get the latest updates and news from Spectrum Automotive Holdings. If you're looking to get in contact with me, my name is Justin LaRoque. And again, I am the marketing manager for Spectrum Automotive Holdings. And we are looking forward to more of these interviews shortly. So stay tuned and keep an eye out for the next one. And make sure that you are following us and following Ted. And until next time, we'll catch you on the next episode.